Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
All right, hang on. I'm just going to have a final sip of my tea.
Oh, hang on. I'm going to have a final sip of my coffee.
Yeah. Big gulp.
Mm.
Hold on. I'll be back in a minute. No, I'm kidding.
I lied. That wasn't the final sip.
Man. I'm so glad we did that mark over a minute ago.
I'll finish the coffee.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome back to Pitch Please.
You can't start like that.
No, it's fine.
If you start like you have to include the coffee drink now.
Yeah, I'll keep it in. It's not a problem. No one gives a shit about the intros, do they? It's brilliant. We'll brush over it. I'm Alex. This is the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. Tom, yeah? What do you say about that?
I agree.
I thought we had an intro structure nearly nailed down.
We're also joined by regular developers, Chris.
Hi, I'm one Brunch Club developer and hippotherapist, Chris Yules.
What is a hippotherapist?
It's therapy. Therapy involving an animal. But can you guess what animal it is?
Cats.
That's right, horses.
What?
It's therapy that involves horses. Sorry.
By James. You can do this.
Hello, I'm James, one of the two developers working on Drink More Glurp.
Oh my god.
Nice. That was a pretty clean one.
Oh god. Oh, that took so much. Oh,
nailed it.
Oh, you can
I'm gonna be silent for an hour now.
Yeah. Oh my god, well done. Finally. Oh, what episode is this? Like 17, 18, something like that?
I think we might be 20 plus now.
Wow. Really?
I think.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
This week, Tom, we're out of your hole again, right?
We're out of
my hole. We're not in the hole.
Not
we're
in, my hole.
In a different hole. We're in
a
mine,
to
which
some.
Is...
Oh, maybe not, actually.
it's not a hole. It's
a divot.
Barrel.
Oh, barrel.
A pitch
it's
barrel.
A pitch,
nice.
It's a barrel, yeah. You need to... it's like bobbing, you know, apple bobbing.
Yeah.
You've got to stick your face
We've
in there.
We've got to go head first.
Hold your mouth open.
Head first, mouth agape.
Crunch down, see what comes
hole.
Out. Okay.
Only a slim chance of drowning.
Okay, hang on.
Slim chance of drowning.
So we're dunking our heads in.
Tom's going in.
We're dunking our heads.
Tom's dunking. He's submerged. He's coming out in his mouth. I'm pulling it. Pop. It's lost the game.
Sorry, is this the episode that we did with all the sounds? Are we making our own sounds for this podcast now as well?
No.
Okay.
No. God, no. Hang on.
That apparently was a terrible idea if it were like... Yoxcast tweeted that out saying the worst idea that we've had so far.
I was
they
shocked.
Also said pitch please with Tom Hazel.
Yeah,
like
you.
I'm not in every episode.
Featuring.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
So wait, hang on. You said lost the game.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. Look, I've got to admit, I haven't thought of it much more than that.
Oh, brilliant.
However.
Three words.
Fantastic. No.
Wait, that was his
feel
pitch.
Like.
That was it.
So I was thinking, hang on. Good. Right. I've written a bit of it down, like a bit of information down.
Okay.
But I feel like you don't need that much for a game like this, for something like Lost the Game. Like that to me just sets off so many things firing that it could just be anything. But
right.
My feeling is, right, okay, so elevator pitch, it's The Witness meets Rust meets Telltale's The Walking Dead.
Okay, the forest.
We're on an island.
Okay,
you have these.
I see.
Okay, yeah, you see where I'm going?
I think I see.
Yeah, you've got The Witness. Is this? I feel like you're humoring me.
I have no idea.
Okay, the strange island you've just crash landed on.
Yeah,
maybe you have characters from the TV show. I don't know. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Hurley.
But Hurley's there with you. But you're not one of those characters, right? You're just a scrub. You're just a random person.
Right, okay.
Maybe there's a character creation. That's where the Rust part of the Rust element comes in.
Sure.
The Witness, you have this. Obviously, there's the similarities with the strange islands that you have no idea what's going on there. initially you think, oh, it's this beautiful, peaceful island or whatever. But the first thing that happens, I don't know, you're like, okay, what do we do? Oh, we're in the middle of nowhere. Fuck, a polar bear comes out. Yeah. Hurley wrestles it to the ground. Or you have to help him kill it.
Love that episode.
Or something. We'll fight him. That's a great one.
Hurley ain't doing shit.
And, and John Locke is in the back screaming and, wildly, just like the show.
Yeah. Yeah, throughout that, so the game then is basically you have, maybe it's a day, maybe it's a day night cycle. You have to go out, explore the island, areas of which probably are locked off to you in a Grand Theft Auto style way, but like, you know, you have to progress narratively to unlock. Yeah, yeah. And as you do that, you have to, like, you encounter these strange puzzles. You have no idea what's going on. And as you solve these puzzles, while you're solving them, you're not only uncovering like the overall story of the game and what's going on, but you're discovering new characters, blah blah blah. You're also having to forage and find materials and food to then take back to the camp in the evening to expand your camp, to keep your fellow people alive, all this kind of stuff, while wrestling with relationships with the other
and polar bears.
And polar bears, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So there's, so you find a hatch, for example. I mean, are we going hard on this, it lost the game?
I feel like Lost left so many things unexplained.
Oh, so we're the epilogue.
We're the answer.
Right, do you remember that time?
I'm sure many people disagree with me.
We went down a path of adding celebrity endorsements to our games. And I think after one of the episodes, Alex said, let's try not to add so many celebrity endorsements to our games. But how about we just shove a whole TV franchise in there?
Well, okay. Yeah. I see what you get. But okay, maybe it's not Lost. Maybe it's not the actual brand Lost.
This is just the forest.
It's the forest.
No, the forest is just a survival game, right? And there's a bit of story.
This is
in there,
the forest with speaking.
Okay, Chris, try and figure out what game I'm describing here.
Okay.
You crash land on a mysterious island.
Via a plane?
Via a plane, yeah.
Yeah.
Your plane crashes on a mysterious island. There's weird, like, underground stuff going on with, like, this cultish sort of group of people, and they take your son. And you've got loads of different like hidden areas and mysterious parts of the island that you can explore.
Mm-hmm.
What game am I describing here? Am I describing Alex's idea or am I describing the forest?
You're describing the forest and also Lost the video game.
Yeah.
Telltale. It's Jonathan Blow's Telltale presents Lost the video game by Gary Newman. Not the band man, the man who made Face Punch Studios, who made Rust.
The Rust man.
Not, okay.
So that's the other element,
maybe
he
does,
right?
Maybe Rust Gary Newman does the soundtrack. Have. Like, you know, let's but just...
Here in my plane. Uh-oh.
Crashing my plane. I'm
on an
island.
But you could also have, like, these warring... Because you have the others, right? That's another thing that you have in Lost. So
you
there's,
mean,
like,
you mean
maybe...
Ethan Rom.
And what's his name? I've written here, Richard... With question mark, exclamation point. Do you remember Richard?
Dick?
He appears occasionally. He's like ageless and beautiful. And he appears like all over the place at different times.
Is he the See You in Another Life brother guy?
No, that's Desmond.
Oh, Desmond. Yeah.
That's Desmond.
Is Richard the guy that has eyeliner, but he doesn't have eyeliner?
Yeah, he has some eyeliner.
But
yeah,
I looked it up and I was like, why is he wearing eyeliner? He doesn't. He's just got naturally dark eyes, so he's just always fabulous.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's the guy, it's the police commissioner from Batman.
Yes,
I think.
Yes.
That's how I remember him.
No. Gary Oldman is a
Gary Newman.
He's the mayor. He's the mayor. In,
oh right, because
Dark Knight.
So
not
yeah,
the
Ethan
police commissioner.
Rom. I remember him because his name is literally an anagram for other man, and he was part of the others. And there was the Dharma Initiative, right? They were the people that had the secret
spoilers
hatches, right? And all the hatches, there was like 8 different hatches that had different names, like Hydra and all these different ones. And there was the, you had to press a button every 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42 minutes.
Sorry, is this now keep talking and nobody explodes? What are we doing here? If you see a yellow button, maybe that's it. One person has the instructions for the hatches. Okay, if you're at a red hatch and there's two blue wires, press it every if the number ends in a five.
Oh, there we go. It's a multiplayer game, but you're on different parts of like four different islands, and they're only
four different islands.
They're all interconnected via underground mysterious hatches, or maybe they're not connected. But you're kind of like communicating across different islands like that
via in-game radios,
right?
In-game radio, multi-island, non-connectivity survival game. Everyone has to survive.
Keep talking, and nobody gets lost.
I really like the idea. The Dharma Initiative for me was the best thing about Lost, and the thing that they completely were so underwhelmingly explained or anything to do with that. I like the idea that the game has that narrative about you know, what is the Dharma Initiative, or whatever we would choose to call it in this game. What is this mystery organization?
Dharma Initiative.
And maybe it's got a bit of like Oxenfree thrown in, where maybe there's some like what are they called? They're the towers that give out the signals. They're like signal
towers.
Number stations, that's what they call it. And it would be like
number stations.
Really eerie recordings of like a series of numbers, but by different hosts, or they'd have little jingles, and they're super creepy. So maybe you've got to investigate.
Is it open world? Do the towers unlock part of the map? Is this now a Ubisoft game?
So Chris, you joke, but I was imagining it as a kind of Far Cry style.
You joke, but you're ruining my idea.
I'm taking this very seriously. I was imagining it as kind of maybe Far Cry, where you have a large open world that's very beautiful and lush, but it's not just this. Like, I hadn't imagined there would be combat, really. There probably could be, but not like proper Far Cry. You've got a fucking AK, you're running around. You know, it's not nuts like that. It's maybe hand-to-hand
combat.
Like
Green Hell.
Or basic pistol. Like, if you have a pistol, that's a really big thing. Like, there's someone in the... Like, maybe your entire group has a pistol amongst them.
And 10 bullets.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what if you could choose a starting character and every starting character had a different thing? Because then you could have the air marshal, he has a gun. That's his starting thing. But that causes tensions amongst other people. And then your telltale thing comes into it, where you can befriend certain people and then you gain certain access to
things. Wait, so it's a telltale game where you can pick the character that you're playing in the story?
Maybe you pick the character at the start, yeah.
Because...
You might think the gun is overpowered, but something
whatever you can salvage. Maybe what's salvageable is randomized. So maybe there is a gun in a location, but next time you play, it will be somewhere else. And I don't want to make this a roguelike, but there is the potential for you know, you might find some shrapnel. You can craft a rudimentary club or something. Or
that's
the rust element,
thinking, right?
That's the rest of
it. It is kind of roguelike-ing it a little bit, where a telltale game word. Where you can pick any character in the story. I know this is nigh on impossible, but that would be amazing. Right. If you play through the story, let's say you play as Jack throughout the entire story, which is basically Lost, right? But then you see a character, you're like, I kind of want to experience this story from his angle. And you play through the telltale game from this person's perspective, and maybe it's totally different. Maybe Jack is an asshole in this story, although it's the same story, like the same story beats, all the things sort of happen.
Just
in
different
the same
perspective,
way, but you see a different perspective on it. Maybe a character goes missing for like 3 hours, and you're like, I want to know where they went or the things they saw, and it's only at the end of every character's story that you get the full.
So is this now Lost. In the way it plays out? If there's no combat or anything like that, and it's just story. Is it like everybody's gone to the rapture, and you know, the whatever happened to what was it, Edith or whatever? I can't remember the name of the game.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, Edith Finch. Yeah. Is it kind of like your traditional walking sim, but not as dialed back as that? But it has extra things where you could do.
I'm not imagining it as a walking sim, like.
General gameplay, because you said there's no combat, but there is exploration.
There could be combat, and I suppose, I don't know, would you call The Witness a walking sim? Is that like a...
No,
or is it
but
a
that's a puzzle game.
That's a puzzle game.
With walking.
In terms of interactivity, I'm imagining that level of like puzzling or interacting with your environment.
So it's not a survival game.
Well, really. But that's the other thing. I think it would be kind of cool to be able to have... like so
Uncharted,
you're on a time limit because it's daytime, right? You have to go out into the jungle... that's the only time you can, like, it's too way too dark in the jungle to go out and do anything in the nighttime, unless you have like really decent resources.
Maybe one of your characters perhaps has a torch as a starting item.
But that, okay,
yeah,
so
perhaps, and you could.
Is this a first person survival game like The Forest or Rust, or is this a Telltale game?
Well, both. Why not both?
Okay.
Like,
now,
what if they're elements of a Telltale game?
If you say okay, why not both, that begs the question, how the fuck?
I can figure that out.
Alex will remember this.
You just walk around and you go, okay, say everybody disliked that. Say if you know, Tom is standing over there, I'm running around, I walk up to him, and then it becomes like the Fallout 4 where you have set choices and they can deliver a response.
Set choices like Fallout 4. Yes, 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 sarcastic and no.
Well, no, but you have, I mean, presented in that option, or like the Telltale. But Telltale's not doing anything spectacular in terms of its dialogue tree or the way it works. It's just, instead of walking from one character to the other, it does it for you. It's not exactly
groundbreaking. Let's say it was more of like a Mass Effect style radial option thing.
Right,
like that
okay.
could be one thing. Or the renovated. Other thing that I was thinking was that maybe it could be, and this would be going deep into the Lost, actually just taking Lost and making it Lost the game, but if you were to have flashbacks of characters and the flashbacks oh my were God. The Telltale things and everything else was just fine. But I really like the idea of you're on a time, you wake up, it's the morning, you wake up at dawn, like first light, you have to get out there. Your main job, at least to begin with, until I guess you like you find other ways of not automating it, but getting other people to help you, is just to survive. So it's just, that's a very classic, you know, survival game thing. You just have to find resources, see if you can find food, maybe hunting animals. So it's like, there's that element in there. Mm. And then taking stuff back to the camp. But while you're doing that, you're slowly uncovering these strange things on the island that make no sense, like the Dharma Initiative, the hatch or whatever. And you have to start piecing these things together, but under the time pressure of trying to get everything done before it gets dark. Because when it gets dark, maybe it's not that you can't see, maybe the others come, or, you know, we introduce other factors.
Well, you've got to build a camp or something. You've got to just keep yourself sheltered, safe.
So that's yeah. The Forest.
So, I've never played The Forest, so I'm probably not boring.
The cannibals come out at night. Yeah,
so how does The Forest, is The Forest basically just a survival? But is there a story to it?
Sandbox survival game.
There is a story.
Yeah, there is a story, but that's why I'm confused. Like, how much of this is your idea is a sandbox game versus a kind of linear story thing?
So I'm very much leaning towards the linear story. Okay. So it's telling a story that is not going to change. Okay. In the same way that like it's telling, like, you know, not quite on the Naughty Dog end of things, but maybe something more like, you know, Control. Where you enter this building and you have no idea what's going on, and it's open in the sense that you can go to different areas at your leisure and you have side missions and stuff to uncover, but it's telling a story that is very much fixed and there's
like Alien Isolation. That's my reference point. On
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that, yeah.
You're restricted by where you can go, but things are cut off. But once you unlock them, you can go there wherever you want. You can come back whenever you want. But the story forces you to go to these new places. And sometimes it does involve backtracking through certain areas because you've now unlocked it. But it gives you the impression of open world. But it really, it's just an open environment that you can explore the story as you want. But you're still nudged towards the story constantly. Like, it's always...
Yeah. Well, I guess like Fallout or like The Outer Worlds or those kind of things, where it's like, again, those are fairly open world games, I would say, but they're not sandbox. They, you know, you have a story that's beginning to end, and you will complete the game.
World.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe there's some way of bringing those two things together. Because I think, like, I love the idea of having this strange, like, one of the reasons I love The Witness so much, I think probably everyone initially at least, like, was interested in Lost, was because of just having these strange mysteries that you want to uncover. And I think putting someone narratively in that position where you're slowly uncovering this strange, like the islands and all these mysteries feel so much bigger than you. And then you're introducing like another faction, maybe the others or whatever, you know, appear. And there's that side of things. There's like your own group is falling apart. You have to manage that.
Mm. If the AI is assisting in delivering the story, but you also have to manage their survival. Isn't there a point in which, say, a character dies because you couldn't manage the resources and stuff, but that character is integral to the story? Like, how do how do you bypass that?
So with that, you can just be like, something stupid where they just have a journal, right? And it writes down the next sort of like things that they were involved with. Like, I found this item the other week on the island. I wonder what it means. And then like you can search through it. But the way I was thinking,
could you just starve them immediately, very quickly, to get their journal, and then just figure out what's going on?
But make hunting hard or something. Like, you could give other negatives of not protecting your team, couldn't you? It's just like,
but that's what I mean by everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a role.
It's hard.
I was thinking maybe in terms of, sorry, James, go on.
I was just going to say maybe it's hard to kill them, but Alex, you know, they might.
James, is James gone?
James
gone. His image is frozen.
I can fill in.
Hello?
I have a point to make.
Oh, God.
You know me.
Chris, sorry. Yeah, please.
For me, it sounds like a cross between The Witness and Uncharted, right? So you've got these ruins that you can sort of... You, as you're going around doing your day-to-day survival-y stuff, you can stumble on some like artifacts or something. You might find like a broken off bit of like an ancient tablet, and then you might see... Like, and then like in The Witness, where you're looking for patterns and you're looking for even perspective-based patterns, maybe you collect all the bits of this tablet. You don't know what it means, but it's quite an obvious sort of image on it. And then maybe you're walking through the forest one day and then something like aligns and then you see that image like within like three rocks that are like spaced out from each other. You see that and you're like, holy shit, I know that. And then that helps you uncover something which is integral to the story. Or it could help you speed through it.
Yeah, like that is one of the best things about The Witness. Have you guys all played The Witness?
I haven't played it, no.
It's very good. It's very good. And I love the way they grow the trees.
you just wake up on an island. Well, you don't even wake up. You just appear on an island. A door opens and you're on this island. You don't know what's going on. And there's a panel in front of you that is a very basic puzzle where you just click a dot and then drag it towards the end of a line. And the whole game is based around those puzzles where you just get these panels and they're almost like mini mazes, really, aren't they? You just have to figure out how to do these little puzzles. And the island is just full of them. There's hundreds and hundreds. But one of the great things about it is that the way they expand that is that you begin to see recognized patterns everywhere, not just in these panels, but in the environment.
It's really well done.
Like, that feels incredible. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like, Tom, what you were saying about the hit, like, what you're doing about if you accidentally or if you starve, you know, the NPCs, so then how are they involved in the narrative anymore? The way I would imagine combating that is to have basically hero characters that you have the main, say if you have like Jack and Kate and Sawyer and Locke or whatever.
Right.
So those are you have the scrubs, right? Those
Kevin's
are the people that you have to keep alive. Kevin, yeah. And those are the people that are dependent on you to bring them resources, to bring them the things that they need to keep the camp going, to feed themselves and all that kind of stuff. The hero characters are characters that go off and have their own adventures, and they are not dependent on you. So it's more of a, like, it's more of a, you're bringing resources for the camp rather than to keep people alive. And it could be a happiness thing, you know, you could have any metric you wanted for that, just for like, you know, like maybe if people die off, you know, if you don't bring enough food, then people will starve, or maybe they'll leave, which then makes it harder to keep other people happy, to keep the camp going or whatever. But these hero characters are still always there. They're always like involved in the narrative, and they can't die in that way, but they can die narratively. But
okay, so this this reminds me a lot of a board game I played once ages ago, and even then I didn't complete it. It's Robinson Crusoe Adventures on the Cursed Island, it's called, right? So the way that
like
is done,
I
didn't play a lot of this game, so I can't say for certain how it is played. However, you play as the characters, like the cook, the carpenter, the soldier, and the explorer, right? So you're not hero characters, you are just a role, right? So maybe at the start of the game, you pick the cook. You're better at preparing meals and making sure people don't get food poisoning and all of that stuff. And then there's the explorer who can explore more parts of the island. In that, I'm kind of imagining that instead of this being like I don't know, in my head it's like a first person, you know, Rust survival game that has story elements and stuff in there, and there's people that you're trying to keep alive. What if it's instead, it's just like a map overview, almost Civ-like, in that you've got that sort of perspective on the game. You have your four specialized people that are on the island, maybe four, maybe more, whatever. But everyone in the game is essentially like a unit. So they're not necessarily AI or a character. You just assign them jobs. So maybe you can say, well, I want the explorer to explore more of the island, and maybe they'll uncover a hatch, or maybe they'll uncover the polar bear like sleeping pit or something like that. Where do polar bears sleep?
So is it randomized?
They have
what
a sleeping pit. Yeah.
Yeah.
famously.
And in this board game, this Robinson Crusoe board game, there's different scenarios as well. I'm sure one of them is just escape the island or build a boat or whatever. But so there is kind of like a story that you follow in that board game. It's not as mysterious island as it as like the Lost one is. It's just deserted island. You have to survive. But, you know, maybe you assign a person to build the camp, and then by the next day, the camp has been built because you assigned this person to it, or maybe you assigned the wrong person to it and there's a chance for it to fail or maybe not be as good.
It'll take longer.
So you kind of are just treating the people almost like, again, XCOM, but almost like XCOM units where they have the specializations and they're better at that. So if the explorer dies, which is, I suppose, quite likely, then maybe it's harder to explore the rest of the island because the other people aren't specialized in exploration.
So can you train these people up to become another explorer by sending them out, or is it...
Maybe they have like a...
When they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very board gamey thing where you have characters that are, you know, you've got this person who's got 10 exploration, but this other character, the spy or whatever, has really high, or maybe the cook has really good cooking skill, but their exploration is quite low. They can still do it, but they're just not as good as the other person.
Right, okay.
So maybe it's done in that way where you're kind of trying to figure out, like, I've got 10 people right now at the start of the game.
So it's like Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, kind of.
Remember, Tom, there's always a game. There's always a game. It's always a bigger
But I think that could be, like, that sounds pretty cool, because then you could have, you could really, like, narrow it down to... Perhaps the overall objective is, I don't know, like discover the secret of the island. That's just what you have to do. That's what the game is about.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you need to keep your people alive. You need to send out your explorers. You need to, I don't know, like, yeah, do all these different things. And or maybe you have different, I don't know, different win objectives depending on when you start the game. That could be like, if it was much shorter games like that, like an hour long or whatever, then you could have... With each new game that you play, you could have a different win condition. Escape the island or discover the secret or whatever. But I do really like that element of having, like what James was talking about, the Dharma Initiative and stuff, and just having like these, like some kind of huge, weird secret to uncover. And
I think the thing that... Oh, sorry, Chris, go on. James, there is a rule and it is putting hands up. What school did you go to?
He's holding the...
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I have the talking stick. Is it now... The way you're describing it makes it seem like a strategy game now. Or is it like you walk up to a map of the island at the start of the day and you can go, you know, click on a point on the map and go send yada yada here and then they go off? Or is that an aspect of it, or is it now not a first person?
Tom's thinking very much strategy, not third person, right? Is that what you're...
I'm thinking like a top island, a top down view of the game, or the island itself. When you land, all of the vision you have is the beach that you've landed on or whatever.
So there's fog of war.
You send the explorer out. Yeah, you send the explorer out. Maybe it's tile based. You move over to a different thing and a sort of area of the map is flipped.
So Catan.
Yeah. And Gloomhaven, and also Robinson Crusoe: Adventures on the Cursed Island, the board game.
James, sorry, you had
so to me that just seems like such a shame, because if you had it first person, had designed this beautiful environment, that's just ripe for exploration. You want to go and climb up the mountains. You want to go digging through stuff. It's like I don't know.
See that mountain? You can climb it.
Yeah, I Oblivion. Personally, I
Is that an
I think,
Oblivion reference?
to counter your annoyance of the design because it's a top-down game, I bring to you Exhibit A, Renowned Explorers International Society.
Okay, well...
What is
again,
that? What is this?
Tom, this is an audio-based podcast.
Well, I'm the only one looking at it.
So look, describe
Explorers
it.
International Society is a game where you are explorers going onto islands or like temples or whatever. You pick three at the start. It's and it's a top-down game where you start on like one point. That point you can move along to one of three different points. Every time you go to the point, there's an event that happens. Kind of FTL in a sense, where you're exploring through the galaxy map.
I'm looking at it here,
And there's also like a sort of XCOM-y style combat to it, where it's like hex-based combat. And the design of that game is wonderful. Like, all the characters are really well done, and it's it looks amazing. And also, it's a very, very fun game. But that's done in a top-down sort of style.
Have we now made like the opening section of Divinity?
Not every game has to be game, Chris.
I'm trying to give people, I'm trying to give myself and people listening like a point of reference in terms of, because we still haven't really nailed down how it plays, what it looks like. Who is even the target audience for this? Is it people that play Lost? I hate Lost. I hate this show. I stopped watching as soon as a polar bear was in a forest. And I was like, fuck this, I'm out.
Can it just look like Firewatch?
Watched Lost.
Firewatch would look great.
Firewatch.
That's what I've got in my head. I've got Firewatch style, that kind of exploration, first person. I want the Uncharted notebook, and I don't think you ever have a map. I think you draw your own map, which is something that Josh and I were thinking about for a puzzle game, but I'll borrow that for this. Is that I think there's something to the exploration, and you are drawing points on a crudely drawn map. And I've just finished Uncharted 4 the other day, and I really like the way they pushed that notebook where they had more of a narrative through that, where
the notebook's really good.
Nathan actually, you know, he's funny in it. He's like making commentary. It's like, if there's I want that. And then I want the hero characters that if they die, they drop their little notebook, or you can go rummaging through their diaries if you're that way inclined.
So you rummage through their stuff.
And
this feels like at a point now, because James and Tom are talking about
two games.
Quite different games, but I think they're both like, it could totally go either way. Like, they're both
Dragon Age
interesting. And
how?
Because in Dragon Age, you can play it two different ways, Chris? Right? In Inquisition, right. You can play it the way James wants
Inquisition.
To in Firewatch, or you can do strategic mode where you can play it above, like Divinity. All it takes
is
an explanation.
Simple perspective change, right? That's not the same as like
part of it, yeah. And yeah, it's Dragon Age.
I don't know. Like,
we just made The Simpsons. Has this game got a main menu? We just made The Simpsons.
We made The Simpsons hit and run. Guys, I think we've made Scrabble.
No, but
is this Monopoly?
I don't think there should be any menus.
As we don't have a clear. We've got two different games. We don't have a clear idea of what it actually is. So I'm trying to piece together from things that
I know.
Chris,
okay,
how are you feeling,
James?
Between
you then, and then you.
I feel it's time for you and James to decide who's like to actually fight, have a physical brawl, and the winner is what which
versus.
Right?
Okay. Tom, what is your idea of this game at this point?
So my idea is a top-down map view strategy-esque game where you have your hero characters are not Jack, Locke, the girl, Sawyer, Hurley. you have the cook, the explorer,
the girl,
the forager, the hunter.
Like Jumanji.
The cook, the wife, the thief.
So you've got like the four like hero characters, but you've also got like 15 like, not nobodies, but they're also just people in your camp that you can set off to do different tasks, and every day you assign a task to them. The explorer, I want you to go north and just see what's there. The cook, I want you to prepare all these meals that the hunter has gotten on the previous day. And then at the end of the day, you get a rundown of what's happened and all the events that come up from that. Maybe you send an explorer out with the hunter and maybe there's some story elements that happen between those two characters, and there's some event that happens between those two. Maybe something happens where the hunter actually hates the explorer for whatever reason and just kills the explorer out in the wild, and you're like, whoa, okay, what?
How are you imagining those narrative, those things taking place? Because that for me is what is really important about the core of the game, is like having that story to tell.
It's like an end of day, like your involvement in the game is giving them jobs. You just tell them what to do and they do these things on that day. Then at the end of the day, there's like an end of day rundown, and you're like, the camera zooms in on the explorer and you're like, oh shit, there's an event that's happening with the explorer. He's found something. And then the event pops up, like a text on screen, maybe an image to you know, encapsulate the event as a whole. And then maybe a choice comes up like, oh, the explorer has found a ravine. He really wants to get across it because then he'll be able to do this. Do you want to build a bridge with the 20 wood you've gathered? Oh, you don't have 20 wood. Okay, he'll try and jump it, or you ignore it. And if he tries to jump it, there's a chance he fails and dies or gets injured or whatever. And then when you finish that event, camera zooms out. It then zooms in on the cook, and there's an event that happens with the cook and all the people involved in that event.
Okay.
So that's how I'm imagining it. And you kind of, in that sense, it's like a survival game based on more on resources and I guess a lot of different meters, which we love. There's a happyometer, a sanitometer, a foodometer, a thirstometer. And that's kind of how the survival game works. And you explore the story through events. Chris, you've got a problem.
I'm just assuming it's isometric. In my head, as soon as you mentioned all that, it's like isometric view.
Yeah, it's either isometric or like, you know.
Especially when you zoom into the people. And also, as you were saying, like you would get a rundown of the day. And yes, I'm going to mention a game again. Yeah. The way Fallout Shelter does it, where you send a guy out, right? You get a rundown of what they did. And it says like, I've encountered a, you know, what are they called? Mole rat.
Deathclaw.
I killed the mole rat. He dropped this. I picked this up. And then like you can go back through and see the list. Or does it, and then only like major events you interfere with, but you can see all the things that happened up to that along the way. And yeah, do you press like, after you've sent them off in the morning, do you press like a button that says like next event, or does it just play out, not real time, but as a timer that just goes out through the morning? Because otherwise you're sitting there doing nothing.
I feel like you set the people doing their little tasks. Say, for example, let's focus on like the hunter. Like you send him out into the forest, and the moment you've set everyone to do their things, you basically just press play, and you can see, maybe not in huge detail, you can't zoom in and see the hunter, you know, lining up a shot from behind a tree and shooting a bear. Maybe it's literally the hunter is there with a bow drawn, just bouncing around in an idle animation, and food pops up above his head, like the food icon appears. Yeah. Like bing, bing, bing. Almost like Game Dev Tycoon, I guess, in a weird sense.
But for major events, you would have a choice to do stuff.
Yeah, maybe it's like you in the morning you set their tasks. Maybe you can also say, I want to change their task halfway through the day. So it is, in a sense, yeah, you set their task and you kind of just watch them do their thing, and you see resources coming in, you see people moving across the map slowly, and then suddenly it zooms in on someone, and that's when you have an involvement. And then it comes out, and maybe then you can pause the game and say, okay, I want to change the structure a little bit. I want to change how people are doing things.
Right.
And then you sort of, so the involvement, you don't have massive involvement. Like you're not manually aiming the bow for this hunter, but it's still, you know, seeing the resources pop up, seeing your people do these different things, seeing the events come up, it's still fun. Like it's still good.
So could you have, like, talking about like strategy games and thinking of like XCOM, where you have the there's that timer essentially, right? What's it called? I can't remember. The countdown.
The avatar.
Yeah. So like, what if in terms of being able to push the story along?
Did we mention this last week?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, every week.
I think we probably do. Yeah, probably every week. Yeah. But maybe is there something that you have to complete the game, or basically find out whatever the secret of the island is, escape from the island before you starve to death, before your resources run out, before something bad happens. And that's kind of gives you some pressure to organizing your...
Yeah, there's an ultimate goal, and the ultimate goal will always be escape from the island. And, you know, discovering the secret is just part of the journey that you take, right? Like, maybe there's a hunting area near you that can run dry of resources, that maybe there's a finite amount of resources. And
so you have to go further out to get them.
Exactly. The game span is surviving as long as you can, or as much time as it takes to build a boat, or, you know, signal down a ship, or whatever.
Okay.
maybe. I don't know. And then all so the secret weird stuff that happens throughout is just stuff that you just discover as you explore.
Before we go too far into this one, James, how do you feel about it at this point? What is the game in your head?
For me, it's first person. You land on the island, you have that crash, you yourself, you can choose to basically go alone. You can go exploring, you can find shelter, and there is that still that survival aspect. You might have a camp where you've got other people, but maybe it's a bit like Mass Effect style, where you can choose your loadout, as it were. You can choose your team to come with you and forage and go and get stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know, all the resource management stuff, I'm like, yeah, it's all fine.
Oh, but James, we can't hear you. You've cut out.
Oh, no. Hello?
There you are. Oh, no, you're back. You're back. Sorry. Carry on.
Oh, dear. But yeah, the resource management side of things, I think, is fine. But I would want to be able to say, okay, let's say I go and find a bunch of cotton and some bottles, and I can take that back to camp, and I can say to other NPC, hey, could you build a water purifier? And they can, like, you can start automating some of that survival stuff so that you can go and explore more.
Okay. So you teach camp members to make stuff, which is essentially automation.
Yeah, I think
they're just doing the stuff for you now.
I think that way you can still have the story elements where you go out, maybe bring people with you, you build trust amongst the camp. If you're not foraging and not finding anything, they start getting angry. Maybe there's infighting. Maybe some of them split off and go and become enemies. Maybe that's the goal, is to keep everybody happy. Otherwise, they go off and they become a problem for you, and you start fighting over the minimal resources that are on the island while actually trying to get rescued and find the secrets to all these secret things. And you've got your notebook and you're drawing a map. And
that's what I love, the idea of the map. Like, if you have base camp at the end of every day, you've wandered around and you come back and you're like, okay, we visited this area today. This is what it looks like. And you can draw it on the map. So like after a week of playing, you know, in game days, then you have a rough idea, a very rough map that you've drawn that might be completely off. But you have a base idea of, like, you know, what the island is looks like, and as you start to uncover more and more of that.
And I think the day-night cycle is super important. I think that... Have you guys ever played a board game called Ravine?
No.
So it was, so. It was a kick, one of those, like, massively over-funded Kickstarters. It's a really fun game, but it's basically you crash land on an island and you have to go out and forage.
Interesting.
You have heart tokens and you spend your heart tokens to go and forage and find food or materials that you can craft into spears and shelters. But then you have a night cycle where you get a random effect, which might be fog or rain or a bear attack. So you've got to prepare your materials and your craft spears and make sure you've got enough hearts to survive the night. The thing that I think is really great about that game is that if you get down to one heart, you go mad and you draw a madness card and you have to act out whatever it says on the madness card. Talking about sanity meters and things, I think if you've got... Sanitometer, sorry. I think we need a madanometer where I think characters could go mad.
That's the same thing, isn't it?
That's exactly the same thing.
No, but it's madness. It's not just sanity. It's like they go... actually crazy, and they go and maybe they destroy your camp, or they steal all the food and run away, or
they don't want to escape anymore, they want to stay on the island and they want to stop you from escaping,
so like RimWorld.
So they have to destroy your resources.
Tom, stop suggesting other games, we're not allowed to do that. I've been told off.
So for me, the other games are
similar to Robinson Crusoe, I will say.
Oh, okay.
To clarify, when I googled Ravine, I didn't know what I was expecting other than just pictures of ravines until I typed in board game after it.
So the other thing that I was thinking of while you were talking about that, like especially like having the first person element of the island and walking around with the day and night cycle and covering mysteries and things is, and this is something I don't think we've mentioned so far, is the Outer Wilds, where you have...
Oh, you mean the best game ever made?
The best game ever
made.
So good,
yeah.
having that idea of, like, there's this huge mystery to uncover. That's what Outer Worlds nailed for me more than any other game, where you really feel like you are learning something.
Yeah.
You're learning the history of what's going on of this world, but that is also affecting the present of what's going to happen. And you're slowly like, you're basically, I mean, you literally are filling in the pages, right? Because when you do something in Outer Wilds, it updates your journal. And that discovery element, I think, is something that just feels like really fucking cool. But that could apply to both of your versions of what this game could be. Chris?
Now hear me out. Why don't we just call it the Outer Isles, right?
Okay. We shouldn't give him a talking stick anymore.
This is my own pen. I'm just holding a pen. Lost. It's Lost, / the Outer Isles. Right, there we go.
We don't need any more games with outer in the title, is all I'll say.
Yeah.
The Inner Isles.
The Inner Isles.
So but Alex and Chris, what one do you think you would go with? Do you go with James's first person journal building survival sandboxing in a sense mystery exploration game, which is basically what you pitched at the start, or do you go with Robinson Crusoe the board game, which is basically my idea?
Chris,
I prefer James's mostly before Tom gives me a look because I really, as Alex said earlier, and as we were talking about, I love the idea of having these environmental puzzles like The Witness, where you can where you see a small, like you pick up a rune or something and you're like, okay, there's a pattern on that, and then something you see something and you're like, oh god, wait, that resembles that thing, but it's like a huge monolithic version, and you're like, this means something. You don't get. I don't think you can't get that from a top-down strategy. Like,
but can you?
Get, like, that's nobody
what,
can.
That's really. What's kind of exciting me about Tom's idea is that
of course
I haven't seen that in a game like that.
How do you present that, Tom?
Okay, so, the explorer finds the event comes up. The explorer sees like this pillar. The picture shows this pillar, and it just describes the scene in front of you. The explorer opens the. Like spreads the trees wide, and all of a sudden he finds a pillar with a symbol carved into it, and he's got a couple of options of what he can do. Maybe he can loot around the base of the pillar, or maybe he can like try and discover more about it. But then later on the explorer finds another event that he sees like this symbol, and you're like, wait, I've seen that symbol before. So then you take him back to the previous hex where that event happened the first time. And it gives you solutions to the events based on other events.
That's just matching a pair. That's like that puzzle game where you flip a card over, you see
an
apple,
said,
and you have to find the other one.
Yeah,
but with the witness, you could be running around, and in the corner of your eye, you just see something fit together. And it's the excitement of you figuring that out, not going, oh, I remember seeing that 2 seconds ago on another tile. When you find it yourself, the achievement is so much better than going... But you're basically given it though, in your version. But
no, I don't think you're being given. You're experiencing it in a different way. Like I love the idea. Like I mean, and the whole map thing, for example, like that could apply on Tom's idea as well. Say, for example, you're sending out your explorers. When they come back, if they survive, then you get a new. They're like, okay, I've gone to this portion of the island. There's a little cove here. I've never been there before. Let's map it out, and you add it to your map more and more. And then perhaps you have like an archaeologist who is looking around, and they're discovering these. They're the people who bring back these puzzles, and you have to. I don't know. Say for example, you're figuring out these puzzles. When you solve a puzzle, you see that it makes. I don't know. You get a weird shape out of it, and then when you've solved enough, you realize you put all the shapes together to make an insignia or a strange shape that you've never seen before. Then eventually, when you manage to map out a lot of the island, you look at the map and realize that insignia is, I don't know, is the shape of the river or something, and which then uncovers more secrets. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can have that feeling. And
yeah. The benefit of going Tom's route is that you could make it much bigger. Like, if I'm thinking about myself making this, it's like, okay, doing first person 3D, huge island, loads of puzzles. It's a massive, massive undertaking. Whereas if you do a hex-based exploration island type game there, you can do that relatively cheaply in comparison. So you could add and so much more mystery to linear. What you could do, and you could do linear. Yeah.
Well, no, that's the thing. The hex thing encourages linear with open world, and this is obviously why people find so many like open world games have so many more bugs and stuff. It's because you don't know what people are going to do. You could be like, go here, and they look at that, and they immediately turn around and walk off in the other direction. And you're like, no, please don't do that. You can't decide. When you give people the choice to do that, they're going to do weird stuff. When you've got a game where the rule set dictates how they can move, how they can do certain things, it's not... There is a lot that can go wrong still, but there's less things that players can do that can muck it up.
I mean, if and, I think of something...
You can then unveil the story how you want to.
Yeah. If I think of a recent game I've played called For the King, which is a tile-based sort of hex exploration campaign.
Yeah, I've played that.
I mean, you could do something like that, really. And then what they do is that when you go into combat, so you zoom in on the combat and you have a turn-based thing there. Maybe if there's a puzzle to solve,
that's what Renowned Explorers is like as
well. You could zoom in and it's like maybe you do the mini game or something that is the puzzle. Or I think you lose a bit of that the wonder of discovering something out of the corner of your eye or seeing the patterns, but you could do it in other ways for sure.
How about this? So when your explorer goes out and explores stuff, he comes back, I think he draws a relatively crude map of basically the basic, like the very very minor detail, he just draws his dick. No, he draws the island in its shape. There's some trees here. There's a mountain here. There's a river here. Yeah. Like, it's very, very basic. It's not super detailed. Like, you could send different people out and maybe they'll add to the map and say, like, maybe the hunter goes out and he sees some tracks and he's like, okay, no, this is important because this means there's a hunting area or whatever. So he finds different stuff, adds it to the map. If you have an event where you find this weird looking monolith, the explorer might say the event will come up for the explorer and he does a very basic exploration of it, but he can't really do much with it. So you can then you can draw on it and you can draw on the map yourself. So you can say, well, you can write on there weird monolith, or you can draw the symbol that you see on the monolith, so you can add to the map yourself as well. So maybe when the explorer finds that puzzle that you piece together and it makes that symbol, you're like, oh shit, that symbol actually is important. So it is kind of that. I've seen this symbol somewhere before, but I mean, there's obviously other stuff you
can do. I
don't
think
there's
anything wrong with it. Yeah. I think that's cool. Like, I think that's a really cool thing to happen. Like being able to put like, just that feeling of like something clicking in your head where you're like, shit, I know that. And then, you're like that feeling of slowly solving the puzzle, I think is great.
Yeah. Also, it's
that's
up
what
to
I was kind
to,
of imagining
to mark these places on the map yourself as well. Like the explorer doesn't do it. He just draws a pillar there or whatever. But when you look at the picture, there's different like special features about this pillar that might be important later on. Maybe in the late game, you've found like 20 different pillars across the map, all with different symbols. And then you find something that has, this symbol will show you the way. And then you're like, okay, so that pillar, this pillar, and this pillar all now mean something. So they're correlating to something.
What is the something? What's the secret of the island?
The secret of
polar
the
bears.
Island.
Control polar the island. Bears.
Yeah.
What if it's the portal to hell? If it's Doom 5?
It's actually, at the end, what you get is you have to watch in real time and we can't pause it. It's just every episode of Lost.
Yeah,
and then J.J. Abrams comes in at the end and then just ruins that franchise as well.
Every episode of Lost commentated by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah,
you get to the center of the universe and then it zooms all the way back to the first planet you started on and you never actually got to the center of the universe and you just start the game again.
You wake up and it was all a dream.
That's a really cool ending.
And then you hear a banjo.
Ding, it was purgatory
ding,
all along.
Ding, ding.
Oh, the music in Outer Wilds, it's just so many feels. It's so good. That game is so good. Shit. I finished it about 2 weeks ago.
Well, we already know that the music for our game is being done by Gary Newman. Yeah. We've already decided this.
Gary Newman's Outer Wilds.
But maybe that ties into the story. The island is from the 80s, and that's when you discover... can we do a Metal Gear thing where we find...
Everyone's on acid. That's the game. It's just a massive trip.
You've gone to the woods and you eat a mushroom and you go mad.
Yeah, and then the
do
end of the
we
game
have
is you leaving the nightclub.
Do we have a better name than the Outer Isles? Is that what this game is going to be called?
Yeah, Gary Newman's The Outer Isles.
Gary Newman's The Outer Isles.
No, produced by J.J. Abrams.
I feel
produced
like...
by Bad Robot.
Well, I think they're both fantastic ideas. I will probably... I'm getting initially more excited by the idea of the first person, but I feel like Tom's idea is so... could be so unique and different that that excites me in a very different way. So I feel like we should stick with that one and
we have both. Why don't we call this episode a double name? Lost the Board Game, and then James's one is The Outer Isles with J.J. Abrams and Hurley, and then people can choose which one they prefer.
But then when we go around to ask James and Chris if James is going to make your game or if he'll play it, he'll just be like, shit.
No.
I like James's idea and I think James likes my idea.
So it's up to me and Alex.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe it's up to the audience, like Tom says. Maybe it's up to the viewers.
No, they don't get an opinion. It's up to me and you, Alex. They're not here right now. They're going to hear this in 2 weeks' time. P.O. Box.
All right, Chris, what are your feelings?
I like both, to be honest. They both have their own merits. They both have their own things that could go horribly wrong with them and be boring about them.
Wow.
Well,
does that mean you like them? Is that
right? Yeah.
I feel like you've qualified you like it by something confusing.
Which one would you make?
I would play both.
Oh.
I would probably make yours, though, Tom, because it's easier.
I'll take
like as James said, like just 3D without making this sound like a horrible expression, it really does add another dimension of pain to game development. Thanks.
Okay, James, which would you make? Which would you play?
I would have to agree with Chris. I would make yours, Tom, because it would be so much easier. I would want to make mine. Because I think I love that idea of doing a cinematic 3D. If you give me Naughty Dog budget, then sure, we can do that. I would play both,
so you
actually.
You prefer to make yours?
I would prefer to make mine. I would play both.
Okay.
I've wanted a good Lost style island adventure game for a long time, and there are some out there.
Haven't we all?
I want that real Firewatch buzz again. I want that. Sense of
it has to have a very big mystery to the island as well. I think that's the important thing.
That's it, and that's something I guess we haven't come up with, and I guess we won't, but I think, hey, this was okay for a pitch that was basically three words. We've come out with two kind of cool games, right?
I feel like this is how they made the TV show. It's J.J. Abrams went in and was like, okay, Lost, and they were like, wait, what's that? And he was like, we'll figure out
and then
we can go along.
Sorry, I'm lost.
Just give me money, give me cameras, give me people.
Two good games. I think I would very much appreciate if people could, I guess they can't leave comments on the on when they're listening to the podcast. They can leave comments to listen to on this on YouTube, or they can tweet us. Where can they tweet us, Tom?
At Pitch Pullers Pod. Pitch please without the vowels, pod with the vowel.
We'd love to know which one you would play. Hell, if you want to make a prototype, let's go for it. Thank you very much for listening. We'll speak to you next week. Well, you'll listen to us next week.
We'll speak to you next week.
Are you free next Tuesday?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.